Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter.
Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the digital marketing expertise your business needs. My name is Tim Peter. Today is Tuesday, August 13th, 2019, and this is episode 254 of The Big Show. I am so happy to be talking to you today. I think we have a really cool show, and it's based on a really interesting news story from yesterday. It just kind of boggled my mind when I saw this. You may have seen that Automattic, a company called Automattic, which is, from a certain perspective, the parent company of WordPress, and I'll explain that in a minute if you're not aware, but Automattic bought Tumblr from Verizon for, depending on whose numbers you believe, under $20 million and possibly as little as $3 million. Now, that's a remarkable story, given that Yahoo paid $1.1 billion, that's billion with a B, for Tumblr just about 6 years ago before turning around in 2016 and selling itself, all of Yahoo, to Verizon for a bit less than $5 billion, about $4.8 billion. Which, from one perspective, means that Tumblr, at one point, was worth something like 20 to 25% of the value of Yahoo at the time. Now, clearly, that's not really the case. Of course, there's a joke going around that since Tumblr sold for so little after Verizon banned pornography on Tumblr, that the real thing that was worth the $1 billion for Tumblr was the porn. But I don't think that's really true. And I think there's a far more interesting story going on here, and it's really the part I want to focus on. Before I do that, I do want to give you a little bit of background, a tiny little bit of background on who Automattic is. Now, what Automattic is they're a services company, and it was founded by the same people who started WordPress. WordPress is, of course, an open source content management system, meaning it's free to download, it is free to run. Anyone can download the source code and modify the source code. Anyone can contribute to the source code, can contribute to the community, which is one of the reasons why WordPress is one of the more popular content management systems out there. Just for instance, Drupal is another competing open source content management system. And there's a company called Acquia, as well as a couple of others, who act in a very similar way to Drupal, the way that Automattic does to WordPress. And I think it's really interesting that Automattic bought Tumblr for the reasons that I'm going to talk about. And I think it's interesting for the reasons that I'm going to talk about. And I want to start by saying I always liked Tumblr. Anybody who remembers my blog from, a few years back, well, gosh, got to be 6 or 7 years ago now, I used to talk a lot about how interesting I thought Tumblr was. And the reason I liked it was because of the sense of community there. It was really about like-minded people publishing and sharing content that brought them together. And that's why I've always thought its value was far more important than its purchase price. And here's why. You know, I talk a lot here on the podcast, and I write a lot on the blog, and I write in guest editorials for other places about the amount of power various gatekeepers have, with, of course, the two most prominent gatekeepers being Google and Facebook, right? I mean, we all know this. But I also think we need to remember that we ultimately hold the power. Yes, Google and Facebook control lots of traffic, but you hold the power in your content. Now, I've said for years that, you know, without content, you don't have search. Without content, you don't have social. And I always meant it, or I always state it, in terms of for your marketing, right? If you don't have content, you don't show up in search for your content. Your content won't show up for search and your marketing strategy won't work. If you don't have content, there's nothing for your friends and family and fans and followers on Facebook to share, and thus your social strategy falls apart. But the inverse is also true. Without content, Google has no answers to provide people who search. And without content, Facebook has nothing to share with the folks on its network. There's no community there because there's nothing for them to talk about. It's one of the reasons why I always talk about the need for you to have a hub and spoke strategy, where the hub is your website. You must own the place where your content ultimately lives. That's the hub. And then the spokes are the various distribution and promotion channels you use, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or YouTube or Twitter or LinkedIn or whatever comes along next. Those are the places you get your content in front of folks that then bring them back to your website. But it always, always, everything should always lead back to your website. You own the platform, and you're not dependent on any one source for your traffic or for your voice to be found and for your voice to be heard. And that's actually one of the reasons I think this Tumblr purchase is so interesting, because it was bought by folks who make a content management system. They're simply looking for more ways to give more people more of a voice. Now, I want to be fair. I want to be really fair about this. You know, when people complain about evil folks who are still published on the internet, and there's been a lot of that over the last handful of weeks with some of the terrible news stories we've had around white supremacy and white nationalism in the United States, you know, that's awful. And please don't misunderstand. I genuinely believe these people are incredibly awful. I also think it's a sign, it's a symbol of how resilient the internet is, how powerful it enables individual voices to be. Now, again, I want to be really fair. There's a very real, when you build the ship, you build the shipwreck moment here. You know, digital is like gravity. It's got its pros, it's got its cons. That's definitely a con. But it's great for you as a company, or as an individual, or as an idea, or as a movement, that people can always be found and people can always find you. I'm not a Pollyanna about this. Some of the worst people in the world manage to find one another and be found by others with similar points of views because of this power. You know, to be fair, even before Yahoo bought Tumblr, some of my usage of the site had declined because some of the communities on Tumblr were remarkably toxic. So I don't want any of this to sound like, no, the internet's the best thing ever. There's no downsides whatsoever. You know, there's nothing we need to be concerned about. That's not true. What is true, whether it's you as a business person or you as just a person, is that we always hold the power to get our message in front of people. It means you can always be found. You know, as hard as this is to believe, Google won't always be the dominant player out there. Folks don't think about this, but Google's power, as strong as they are, is also very brittle. What do I mean by that? You know, brittle is a thing where something is very strong, but also easy to crack, easy to break. Google faces this really weird situation that very few companies of their size and scale have ever faced, which is that the switching costs for Google's customers are zero. Now, if you don't know what switching costs are, it's very simple. If you own a car and you want to switch from the car you drive to a different car, there's a cost associated with that. You have to buy a new car, you have to get new insurance. You know, if you move from gasoline to electric, for instance, you have to find new ways to fuel or power the vehicle, right? Those all have costs associated with it. So there's a certain amount of what's called lock-in that keeps you in the car you're in, because the cost of switching is far from zero. If you have a business and you want to move from PCs to Macs, for instance, there's the cost of new computers, there's the cost of new software, there's the cost of training for your employees on the new computers and software. There's lots of new cables you have to buy to plug everything in, right? You know, all of those factors have a cost associated with them. So switching from one product to another often is not free. But think about it. Anyone can switch from Google to Bing, or Google to DuckDuckGo, or Google to Ask, or Google to whatever comes next in an instant. You know, Google has tried to build more lock-in with Gmail and Docs and Android and on and on and on. But the basic point that switching search engines, which is where Google makes all its money, is essentially free. People can switch at any time. If you don't believe me, consider this fact. Depending on whose data you believe, Google pays Apple to be the default search engine on iOS. Now, that's a fact. The data part is how much Google pays. And I've seen numbers that range from between $9 billion and $12 billion per year. If that's not a sign that Google's concerned that people on iOS are going to use something else to search, I don't know what is. That's not the behavior of, quote unquote, the most powerful company in the world. That's the behavior of somebody who's very concerned about losing that behavior. Now, to be fair, Facebook is far less brittle. But let's also be fair, they're far less influential. They're not the place where everybody starts every purchasing decision that they make. I mean, do you get 50 or 60 or 70% of your traffic from Facebook or Instagram or WhatsApp? I bet not. And let's also be fair, a good chunk of what gets shared on Facebook originates someplace else, much of it found on Google. So their power is incredibly brittle, and it's not sustainable forever. At some point, they will get disrupted, or they'll change. Their behaviors will have to change to ensure that they don't get disrupted. And that's all driven by the fact that anyone can get on the internet at any time and launch a new business, launch a new product, launch a new service. Whether they're using Tumblr or WordPress or Drupal or Instagram or Facebook or YouTube or Twitter or LinkedIn or Reddit or TikTok or apps on app stores, other new players that come down the pike, all of these give you room to move and room to grow. I know a guy who's a marketing thought leader around using LinkedIn to grow your business. And sure, you're relying on a gatekeeper, a less powerful one, but still a gatekeeper. The key is you're still able to get online and get seen and get heard. By the way, that underscores why you have to use hub and spoke so that you're not dependent on any one of those places in case they go away or change the rules on you. That's great for your business. Lots of impressive brands have been built this way. You know, whether Airbnb or Uber or Etsy or Reverb, or, you know, take your pick of your favorite new brand, Stitch Fix, that's come along recently. They're following this same playbook. I also want to be clear that it's great for people more generally. Think about the other big news story that's going on in the world right now, which are the protests in Hong Kong. How do we know what's going on? Because these people are able to be heard. That's incredibly powerful. Now, before you think I'm going down a specific pike, I'm not. You know, I don't think this is utopia. I don't think it's dystopia. The internet, when you build the ship, you build the shipwreck, right? The internet isn't a utopia. The internet is not a dystopia. It's just, I don't know, a topia. It's a plate. The good and the bad is in how we use it. The good and the bad is in the stories we tell. The good and the bad is in the people we attract. And the good and the bad is in the communities we build. So yeah, Tumblr got bought for $3 million after originally selling for $1.1 billion. But if its new owners allow it, to foster the right kind of use, if they use it to generate the right kind of stories, if they use it to attract the right kind of people who share the same values, and if they use it to build the right kinds of communities, then the value that they're going to get from it will be the best money they've ever spent. And not just for them, but for all of us. Now, looking at the clock on the wall, we are out of time for this week. I'd like to remind you that you can find the show notes for today's episode, as well as an archive of all of our past episodes, by going to timpeter.com/podcast. Again, that's timpeter.com/podcast. Just look for episode 254. While you're there, please click on the subscribe link in any of the episodes you find there to have Thinks Out Loud delivered to your favorite podcatcher every single episode. You can also subscribe in iTunes, Google Play Music Store, Stitcher Radio, or whatever your favorite podcatcher happens to be. Just search for Tim Peter Thinks, Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud, or Thinks Out Loud. We should show up for any of those. While you're there, if you could provide us a positive rating and review, I'd love that. That would be so helpful, and I really appreciate it. You can also find Thinks Out Loud on Facebook by going to facebook.com/TimPeterAssociates. You can find me on Twitter using the Twitter handle at TCPeter, or of course you can email me. Just send your emails to podcast@timpeter.com. Again, that's podcast@timpeter.com. As ever, I'd also like to thank our sponsor. Thinks Out Loud is brought to you by Solo Segment. Solo Segment focuses on AI-driven content discovery and site search analytics to unlock revenue for your business. You can learn more about how to improve your content, increase your customer satisfaction, and make your search smarter by going to solosegment.com. With that, I want to say thanks so much. I really appreciate you tuning in. I hope you have a great week ahead, a wonderful weekend, and I look forward to speaking with you here on Thinks Out Loud again and again and again. Until next time, please be well, be safe, and as ever, take care, everybody.